But it's a good menu, and I think you're going to enjoy this menu. And I can promise you, Von Steele, Brussels sprouts is not on God's menu. Amen. Me and God talked. He hates Brussels sprouts, too, he said. So, anyway. Gordon, come on up. Mandy, come on up. Who's singers who's going to sing, come on up this morning. And we'll get started here in just a minute. But I am thankful for all God's blessings. We talked about a little bit Wednesday night how that God's not changed in 2020. He's still God. And there's been a lot of stuff this year that not went our way, so to speak. That's for sure. But he's still God. And 2020 is still his year. We go through bad seasons and good seasons, bad years and good years. And even in the worst of years, we can raise our hand and say, thank you, Lord. I am truly blessed. And so I'm excited about sharing the message this morning about what all God's prepared for you and for all of us. So anyway, let's stand our feet. We'll open up in prayer, and then we'll get into our worship this morning. Father, we give you praise and thanks first of all. We come into your court with thanksgiving and praise, giving you honor for who you are. We thank you, God, for all your many blessings. Even in our worst, darkest times, we have something today to say thank you for, Lord. God, the ones that are in this building are not in the hospital. We are not locked up behind bars. We are not confined, God. We are free to worship you, and we thank you for that, Lord. We are so mightily blessed. We thank you we can raise our arms and see with our eyes and hear with our ears. And God, we all walked in here with our own strength. We have our right mind. Thank you, God, for all your many blessings. We pray you bless this service today and all that is done, that you will be glorified. For those that are not here today, God, we pray for them. We lift them before you. And we, God, just pray you watch over them this week and keep them safe. And they travel wherever they are, God, that you bless their week this week. We give you honor and praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. We know this song. It's a very fitting song for today. Blessed be the name of the Lord, right? Blessed be the name. So sing along this morning.
Is there a better Thanksgiving song? Just saying. It sums it all up. If you want to, it's up to you. So, you know you all sing it with me. Go ahead, Brandon. Thank you.
Y'all be seated this morning. Thank God for his blessings. All righty. Randy, I guess you're in here this morning, aren't you? Les Payton wants to go. Do you want to go to back to Sunday school? You go stay out here, Payton. Doesn't matter. Randy's back here if you want to go. If not, you can stay. You going to go? All right. Oh, I've got Maddie, too. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, she's out invisible. I'm sorry, honey. You look so pretty this morning, darling. We're glad to have Mindy back. Mindy, we're so glad you're better. We're so glad you're back. God is good. That is for sure. I was thinking of that song, I've been blessed. I don't know if anybody's seen the post on Dennis Hutchins this morning. Anybody seen that post on him? The latest news, Dennis is a friend of some people know Dennis in here, and I went to church with him, and he had a major stroke. And the latest news is he still can't talk. When that song says, I got a voice that can talk, his face came to my mind. But he can't talk, and there's been so much lung damage from the stroke that he has to be on permanent oxygen now. And they put a permanent feeding tube in, and they... he's on a PAP machine to help breathe as well. He's at Baptist Hospital. So when I was hearing that song, that's why, church, we need to give God thanks while we can. I mean, his world changed with that stroke. His world just changed. Can't talk, can't breathe on his own. Just overnight that happened. And so do what? I'm sure he's still thanking Jesus, absolutely. He was. He's in my mom's wedding. He's one of my groomsmen in our weddings, actually. So just keep Dennis Hutchins in your prayers. He needs a miracle. He needs a miracle. All righty, we're going to get into thankful for his banquet. We're going to read this scripture in Psalms, first of all, to open up, and then we're going to get into the menu. So get your chops ready to lick as we get in the menu this morning. But first of all, Psalms 100, 1 through 5. Mindy, come up here. Why don't you come up here? I want you to read. Can you see okay without reading glasses?
Yeah.
That's kind of small. I want you to read these five verses right here.
Okay.
You're the one to do this.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands.
Yeah.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Let's see here. Oh, my knee glasses. Come before his presence with singing. Know, which means perceive, recognize, and understand with approval that the Lord is. Okay. Which one did you want me to do?
That side.
Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people.
Yes.
We are his people.
Yes,
and the sheep of his pasture.
Yes.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. Woo. And then I lost my place. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endure to all generations.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Woo.
That's the right call, wasn't it? Man, when I seen that, I didn't plan that either, just this moment. When I seen that and you were here, I'm like, you need to read this. Because Mindy definitely exemplifies this, doesn't she, each and every week. And I'm so thankful for that. God's brought me through a lot of things. You may not know this. When Mindy was in her 20s, like 26.
No, I'm 31.
He's 31, I'm sorry. Second surgery. But she's had open heart surgery.
Twice.
And here she is, still praising God and giving him thanks. Church, I'm telling you, we have something to be thankful for today and every single day. So we are going to praise the Lord this morning and be thankful. And I know that, you know, we hear a lot of bad news, and I've been telling y'all for months now, you just need to turn off your news channels and just turn on this news right here. Because I'm telling you, you will consume yourself with depression and with fear and with worry if all you're seeing is the news. I don't trust that news, but I do trust this news. I trust my God more than I trust that. And so we are here to give God thanks, and we are thankful for that. And we are going to get into our menu today, okay? So the first item on our menu, go ahead and pull that up, Brandon. The first item on our menu is juicy joy. Don't that sound delicious? Juicy joy. Now, we talk about joy a lot, right? Joy is not based on what's happening around you. If that was the case, we wouldn't have joy half our time. Joy is based on what's happened in you. And the joy I'm talking about comes from one source, and that's God. And the joy God gives you, nobody can take away. Because your joy is not attached to COVID. It's not attached to elections. It's not attached to Wall Street. It's not attached to your job. It's attached to one thing, God Almighty. That's your joy is attached to. And God don't fail, and God don't disappoint, and God don't let down, and God don't forsake. God is God, and he's God all the time. So my joy is in him. So let's read a scripture about joy. Psalms chapter 16 and verse 11, I believe it is, says this. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. Think about your gas tank in your car. Let's do a little survey. How many of you drive your gas till it's all the way to the light comes on, and you know you've got still got 3.5 miles before you got to stop and fill up? Anybody that? Okay, Melanie, Nick, Christian. Okay. How many of you are the ones that you get half a tank, you got to go and fill up because you freak out because you got half? So, you know what? There is nothing more rewarding, is there? And I know it costs a little money, not much now, thank God, as it did years ago. But when you fill your car up slam full and that needle's all the way past the F, don't that just, man, I got a full tank of gas. I can go anywhere I want to go. I've got 300 miles and nothing but road in front of me, baby. Hit the gas and let God lead. We love having a full tank of gas. The one thing I don't like about Crackle Barrel is their serving sizes. I feel like I'm getting a kid's meal. You get the little side dishes. You get a little itty bitty. I'm not getting a full serving. Now, I know I'm getting probably a full serving according to FDA or whatever. But, man, I'm used to, you know the bowls you fix for cereal? That's what I want my macaroni and cheese side to look like. You know what I'm saying? I want a real side. I feel like I'm in the cafeteria in third grade at Crackle Barrel. They bring these little bowls out. That's all the casserole I get. That's three bites. I'm done. It's ridiculous, man. I want it full. You go to Village Inn, Mr. Gale, and you get that pizza. You slide, you pile on there, don't you? Gale's carrying his plate like this. Back to the table. He wants it full. When we're in the presence of God, our joy is full. It's full. It's completely consuming. And how we have that joy is by being in his presence. Why is that important? See, I have joy being in my wife's presence most days. My kids' presence most days. I have joy because I'm spending time with someone that brings me joy and that I love. If I'm spending time with my Creator, I love him and he brings me joy because I can turn off the news and say, God, all I'm hearing every day and all the paper is plastering every day is new record cases, stop gathering, stop meeting, stop doing this. And it's having an effect on our lives. And if all I see is that and all I hear is that, I don't have very much joy. So I go to God and say, God, I want to hear from you. And then I'm in his presence and I worship God. And he says things like, I am the healer and no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. And I'm the giver of life and you are more than a conqueror. Trust me. Look unto me which cometh from your help. I am the shepherd. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Mindy, I will fear no evil for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And so I know I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When I hear those things from God, all of a sudden something happens. My joy gauge goes up because I realize that my hope and my joy and my peace and all the things does not lie on what's happening here. It lies in what happens here in my heart, and my God brings me joy because I can have peace when the world says I shouldn't have it. When all the world wants to do is put fear in my heart about what might. See, I'm not worried about what might happen. I already know what's going to happen. See, it don't matter what might happen. The might happens don't cancel out what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen? What's going to happen is one day, no matter what happens here, I'm going to hear the voice of my Father say, child, come home. And I will see him face to face. And nothing here cancels that out. Glory to God. That's how I can have joy. Because I know what my future is. No matter what they try to tell me. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. No amount of plague cases climbing up is going to cancel my appointment or my destiny with my Creator. I'm sealed, signed, and delivered. Hallelujah. By the blood of Jesus. So if you want some juicy joy, spend time with God. That's how you get it. Quit talking about everybody, everything negative. Quit being a gloomy person all the time and looking at everything and how. I want to tell you something. I said this Wednesday night. This is still the year of the Lord. And my God has not changed this year versus last year. He has kept me. I've not missed a meal. I've not missed a mortgage payment. I've not missed the gas in my car. I've not missed anything. God has provided. He has took care of us. He's protected us. He has led us. He has watched us. He has met our needs. You know why? Because my God, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. So that's who I trust. So my joy is in that. God, you're my banker, you're my doctor, you're my counselor, you're my provider, you're my protector, you're my everything, God. You're an awesome God, right? As the song says, you're my everything. So juicy joy is our first item on the menu that you can have today, but you've got to choose to spend time with God to get it. You can't beat the devil and have any joy. That's for sure. All right, second item on our menu today, our Thanksgiving menu is what, Brandon? Heavenly hope. Boy, that sounds good. Heavenly hope. There's an ice cream I love that Pet makes called Heavenly Hash. Ah, Heavenly Hash. Got the chocolate, the little marshmallow piece, the little nuts in it. Heavenly Hash. We're talking about heavenly hope. Now remember, hope is not the hope that says, well, I hope I win the lottery. You know, I hope James finishes up early today. I hope, you know, I hope it don't rain tomorrow. We're not talking about that kind of hope. We're talking about an expectation. The hope God talks about is an expectation that is going to happen. Not that it might happen, but an expectation that's going to happen. Look at what Isaiah 41:10 says. This is a very familiar verse to many of us about waiting on the Lord. 41:10 says this. I'm sorry, 40:31. Yes, thank you. I even got it in front of me written down. 40:31 says this. But they that wait upon the Lord. Now the Amplified, I'll read this one, just out of the Amplified, this one verse. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and their power. They shall lift their wings and mount close to God as eagles, mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. If our hope is in God, we have strength. And if we have strength, we don't grow weary. We keep on marching. We keep on serving. We keep on gathering. We keep on meeting. We keep on worshiping. We keep on keeping on what God has called us to do. I'm not going to grow weary just because of life's problems. I'm going to hope in my God. And when I look unto him, he lifts me up from the miry clay. He lifts me out of my weakness, out of my tiredness, out of my discouragement, and he exalts me up to where he wants me to be. Think about how an eagle soars above it all. They soar above everything. They soar in the sky. They let the breeze take them where it leads. Let the Holy Spirit take you where he leads and trust him and just spread your wings. Say, God, my hope's not in this. My hope is in you. And watch what will happen. Hallelujah. So heavenly hope can be yours today. We can tell me about church for a month, can't you? She's bottled up. I love it. I know you are. God brought her out some major sickness, so I know she's excited. Heavenly hope is ours, and the hope, once again, is not just a wishful thought. It's an expectation. You know what Paul said? He says, press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. Keep your eyes fixed on that. In other words, trust that. That's where your hope is at. Your hope is not what happens around you. All 12 disciples were martyred for their faith. Their hope wasn't in their earthly existence. Their hope was in the prize God had waiting on them. That's where their hope was, that one day they would see him face to face. Paul said in 2 Timothy that I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. My departure is at hand. But now is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That's what he was looking at. His hope wasn't in the dungeon thinking, I hope they let me out and I escape this punishment. His hope was that he would, and his expectation was, I'll see Jesus very soon. And no doubt he did. Heavenly hope. We've got juicy joy. We've got heavenly hope. What's the third ingredient on our menu, Brandon? Marvelous mercy. Marvelous mercy. You ever tell anybody else, your cake's just marvelous. That's a marvelous pumpkin pie. That's a marvelous Brussels sprout casserole. Nobody ever said that ever. That's a marvelous green bean casserole. Marvelous. Now, we talk about mercy Wednesday night. In fact, my message, I think, was called Thankful for His Mercy. Here's mercy. Gordon, mercy is when someone has power to punish someone but doesn't. So take Gordon's boss. He works for a boss at work, right? And say, just to say, and Gordon's thick-skinned, so we'll just say Gordon got caught stealing from the company. Everybody go, ooh. He got caught stealing from the company. Well, no, he wouldn't. And I mean, he was getting the tapping the machine, and when somebody come in and did an order, he would slide out a few dollars for his own pocket. And anyway, let's call it embezzlement. Okay. So he gets caught embezzling funds from the company, and he's guilty, and he knows he's guilty. He tells his boss, I'm sorry, you caught me. I don't know what got into me. The devil made me do it, you know, but I'm sorry. All right, so here's Gordon's boss. He has the power to punish Gordon for his deed, right? He can punish him. He can charge him. He can make them pay it back, whatever he chooses to do. But the boss says, Gordon, you deserve it. You've embezzled $10,000 from this company over the last couple of months. We've lost money. You've admitted to it. You're guilty. Yes, boss, I'm guilty. Whatever happens, I'm guilty. But I'm going to forgive you and show you mercy. I'm going to let that go and not punish you whatsoever. That's mercy. We all are guilty before God. All of us are guilty before God in the nature we're born with. And the mercy of God came one day on a cross at Calvary. And that mercy changed our future. And that mercy says, Gordon is no longer guilty of this sin because I paid the price for that. Did he deserve punishment? Yes. But I took the punishment for him, and I've got the authority to do that. I've got the authority to declare him innocent and not guilty. And that's what Christ has done. So let's read a verse about marvelous mercy. This is in 1 John 1:9. I love this verse. Here's how you obtain God's mercy. If we confess our sins, let me get to my, I might get the Amplified here. 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Think about this. Go back to Gordon's example. Boss, I confess, and I'm sorry that I stole the money. And the boss says, you're forgiven. He don't deserve that. He deserves punishment. He deserves to be fired at least, maybe even charged, but he doesn't deserve to be fired at least. And his boss says, no, I forgive you. How do we obtain God's mercy? We confess that we are sinners before him. Lord, I'm a sinner. There's no other way around it. I can't work my way into it. I can't live right enough. I can't be holy enough. I try to do what's right, but I know I fall short because of my nature. And God, I know that none of my good deeds, because the Bible talks about that, we're not saved by works, saved by grace, so I know that. So, Lord, I'm confessing my sin, and you said if I tell you that I'm a sinner, and I ask you, God, to please forgive me, that I'm sorry, that I'm wrong, that it's my fault, that God, I know I deserve, that I pray for mercy, then you said you forgive me. You're faithful and just. That's mercy. That is mercy. We should show others the same mercy God has showed us, but we don't do that. Remember the story of the king who forgave the servant who owed him money? Then that same servant went out and tried to get money for someone that owed him money. And the king found out and says, didn't I forgive you of all of this? And you went and tried to get your money back from him. You didn't show the same mercy to him I showed you. He ended up taking that person and punishing that person for their deed because they didn't show mercy. As people, we should show the mercy of God to others and recognize that we all, none of us are better than one another. There's no holier than thou people. We all fall short. And so thank God for this marvelous mercy that we have as part of God's banquet. I have joy as part of my menu. I have hope as part of my menu. I have mercy as part of my menu. What's our fourth item on the menu, Brandon? Perfect peace. You ever told anybody, man, those biscuits were perfect. You know, that ham was perfect. That roast beef was perfect. Melanie, you are perfect. Things like that. Do you ever say things like that? This Melanie. I don't know about that Melanie. That's up to Charlie. But this Melanie's perfect. But perfect peace is something on this menu. And what I mean by perfect peace is that we can have steadfast, unshakable, continual peace no matter what's happening around us. We're hearing a lot of things, as we know, about a possible another shutdown for our country. You know, they're going to shut things down because things are spiking, and they very well may shut things down. We don't know that. But I'm not going to let the shutdowns shut down my peace. I'm not going to let what happens shut down my peace. I'm not going to let the things around me take away the peace that God gave me. Because I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I do serve man to a degree, far as having to do certain things, but above all, I serve God, and that's who I trust. And so, God, you are first, number one, above everything, and I will not let the world rob me of my peace. Here's why. Look at the verse that talks about this peace. John 14:27, this is Jesus himself speaking. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. Now, let's do an example here. Take my phone. I'm leaving my phone with you, okay? I'm walking away. Now, you know what? Sherry has that phone because I left it with her. It's in her possession. If she don't use that phone, whose fault is it? She's got it. She got access to it. My phone, she got everything she needs there to operate that phone. Except for a brain, yeah. But she got everything, other than that, she got everything to use that phone. I left it in her possession. So the only way she doesn't benefit from that is if she doesn't use it. God, now I ain't gonna come back and get my phone. But God does not come back and get his peace. He left you. But see, Sherry has it. I left it with her. It's in her possession. Jesus gave us this peace. He says, I leave it with you. My peace I give. I give it to you. We know what giving means. Giving means you don't pay nothing back. It's a gift. I gave it to you. How many times we give something and say, no, don't worry about it. I'm giving it to you. But let me, no, don't. I don't need money. I'm giving it to you. That means there's no strings attached. I, not as the world giveth. It's not the peace the world gives you. Because see, our peace in the world is based on what we're going through. When bonus day comes, hallelujah, we got peace, right? We get overtime, I got overtime. I'm going to pay the bill this week. Hallelujah. I got gas in my car. I got groceries in my, I got toilet paper. Hallelujah. I got peace in my home. I got toilet tissue in the bathroom. I got paper towels in the kitchen. Hallelujah. I got peace. I said a few months ago when we had a big craze that God's the God of TP as well. Right? He's the God over it all. He will provide. And so if I let the world dictate when I have peace or not, then I'm going to be like a roller coaster. Peace one day, not peace the next. Peace one day, not peace the next. I don't feel good today. I don't have no peace. They say this in the news. I ain't got no peace. I hear this. I ain't got no peace. They lay me off. I ain't got no peace. You know, I'm short of money. I ain't got no peace. But when our peace is in God, he is the source. So we put so much emphasis in other sources. You know, we worry about, maybe not all of us, but yeah, people focus on what an athlete says or what a rock star says or what a movie star says or what a politician says or what a president says or what whoever says. And we put so much value in what they say. Let's put our value in what God says. He's the source. And my peace don't come from the world. My peace comes from him. He gives it. He leaves it with me. He gives it to me. It's not like the world. Let not your heart be troubled. So you got peace, you're not troubled. You know? I mean, Mandy's up here dancing this morning because she's got joy and she's got peace in her Father. I trust my Father more than I trust anything else. And what's going to happen the coming months, the next year, the next 4 years, that is not at all going to change the peace that I walk in. Because my main vote is for God. And that's who I trust. It's even on our money, right? In God will I trust. That's who I believe in. So I do trust him. I will follow him. I will walk with him. And I will not let the world take away my peace. Don't let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be dismayed. Brandon, what does it say? Turn. Afraid. Let your heart not be afraid. In the old Southern slang, don't be scared. Don't be scared. Don't be scared of. There's nothing to fear but fear itself. Some president said that way before my time. Who said that? Some old person. What'd you say? Oh, Reagan said that? Oh, that wasn't my time. Okay. Reagan didn't say that, did it? Roosevelt. Sorry, Kale. Roosevelt. He's on me. He's that old Roosevelt. You have nothing to fear but fear itself. See, fear presents itself as a pretty formidable foe, doesn't it? It's amazing how fear can escalate so quickly. We see a mole on our hand, right? We've got ourselves in the hospital dying. You know, our kid doesn't call for 10 minutes and we see them dead. That's how fear does. Right? Fear magnifies itself to be so big. And we can't allow that fear to win. When we walk in peace, you know what peace does? Peace cancels out fear. Because you can't have peace and be afraid at the same time. You can't. You're one or the other. You're afraid or you've got peace. That's why I say the word but, B-U-T, should not be in a lot of our faith vocabulary. I trust God, but. I believe God, but. Well, I know God take care of me, but. Why do we add that? Either you do or either you don't. That's what it comes down to. It's like the old song by B.B. King, is you is or is you ain't, my baby. Do you believe or do you don't is the question. I mean, we add that word all the time to justify, and church, I know we use wisdom. I'm not going to go out in the middle of 77 and stand in the interstate and say, I trust God and no buts. I understand that. That's stupid. But sometimes I think we add on too much of that instead of walking in pure faith and trusting God. When God led Moses and them children out of Israel, he knew they would come to that Red Sea. He already knew the plan. God already had the escape route. God already knew the plan. It wasn't like they got the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army coming, and then God says, oh, oops, I forgot about that. It was planned. You know why it was planned? Because God wanted complete dependency upon himself. There was no way out. Body of water on one side, thousands of soldiers on the other side. They're in the middle. What do we do? And Moses simply raised his staff, as God told him, and said, stand still and see the salvation of President Trump, see the salvation of the Lord. Of the Lord. See the salvation of the Lord. Church, we give, me and Mel talk about this, we give way too much power to people. God is over the presidents and the governors and the senators and the congressmen and the kings and the queens and the priests and the pastors and the doctors and the lawyers and the CDC and Dr. Fauci. God is over everything. He is the head of all heads, the king of all kings, the Lord over all lords. There is none like him. And that's who we trust. And when we have the peace of God, then nothing will rattle our cage. God, you've got this. No matter what, I trust you more than I trust that. We know sickness is real, disease is real, and tragedy is real. I work in the funeral business. I see bodies every day at the funeral home. I know death upon man comes. And if I lived my life in that state of worrying about, I hope my body is not there tomorrow, I would never live at all. If you're afraid, I heard a quote the other day I thought was so powerful. It says, if you're afraid to live, you've already died. If you're afraid to live, you've already died. Live to the fullest. So we've covered juicy joy, heavenly hope, marvelous mercy, perfect peace. We've got two more ingredients, two more things on the menu. Okay, everybody loves layered stuff, don't they? Layered love. Layered love. We love, Melly made a 7-layer dip one time. It was so awesome. It was years ago. It was so wonderful. It's called a 7-layer dip. It had 7 things in it. And you dipped your chip in it. It was the best. Oh, my gosh. It was, I'll give you all in it. Sour cream, beans, lettuce. I don't know. It had all this stuff. It was a 7-layer dip. And we love, you women love your hair layered. I'm thinking about getting that look. What do I think about that? I might get a layered look. We love the layers, right? Layered love. Let's talk about layered love. John 3:16 and 3:17. This is something that I mean you we can walk in, the layered love of God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now keep it there a minute, Brandon. God so loved us, he gave the only sacrifice that could pay the price, Jesus, that if we believe in him, that that love he has for us gives us everlasting life. Death doesn't have us. Some song earlier, death doesn't hold us. There's no rival. There's no equal. He has risen forevermore. He's the first fruits of them that slept, which means I'm a second fruit, you're a third fruit, you're a fourth fruit, you're a fifth fruit. We are the following fruits that follow that risen fruit of Christ. So this layered love, man. Something I like layers of cheese. I like layers of cheese. Oh, my gosh. There was a girl I worked with, all the name Lasagna, Joyce. She came to church one time about 2 years ago here and brought me one from Mooresville, a whole pan of lasagna. That top of that lasagna, I'm not lying, that cheese is that thick. Just cheese all the way across. Oh, my. I bet my arteries are like, oh, my gosh. Love that layered cheese. You got stuff called what, three-layer cake, right, or four-layer cake. We like layers of stuff. This layered love that God gave us gives us everlasting life. He loved us so much that he paid the price that we would never taste death. Verse 17 very rarely gets read, except for here at this church, so I'll read it again. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. I want you to focus on that. God did not send Jesus here to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. That's a love that the world doesn't give you. That's a love that doesn't guarantee. The love of the world can't give you this benefit. Only God gives us this benefit of everlasting life. Layered love. The love that Christ has for you. The Bible says that we love him because he first loved us. And I'm so thankful for that love. God loves us in our stupid conditions. He loves us in our weird ways. He loves us in our rebellious. He just loves us. He doesn't always agree with our life or what we're doing, of course, but he loves us. He loves us. Layered love. The last ingredient today, the last food we'll talk about today on this menu, Brandon, is sweet salvation. Now, my dad and Melanie and I'm sure many others in here love their sweets. Love sweets. Oh, man. You don't know what to pick. Dad goes in Golden Corral. He's like a kid in a candy store. Oh, they got chocolate, vanilla. I don't know what to get. Oh, love my sweets. I had a memory of the day I was sharing with Melanie. Well, I was going to share with Melanie, but she got distracted by the oatmeal raisin cookies over there, so I didn't hear my story. But those ice things, yes, thank you. So we're at the old Ingles. We stopped there just to grab something on the way home, and she over in a bakery, and I seen the ice cream case over there. Gave me a memory of my dad. I got a great memory of my dad. My dad loves ice cream. I do too. That's one of my favorite sweets is ice cream. I really like ice cream. I like ice cream, and I like German chocolate cake. I like pecan pie. I like a good banana pudding. I like coconut cake. I like a pound cake. I like brownies. So I guess I do like sweets. Anyway, I don't like frozen Brussels sprouts. But I love an ice cream case, and I had a flashback of in the summertime. They used to run, they always run them big deals on ice cream in the summertime. Back when I was a kid, and they'd run ice cream sales, the little old half-gallon cartons, the little old square cartons. They'd run them, buy one, get one, or whatever they were back in the day, two for three. I don't know what they were back in the day. 99 cents probably in the day. But I remember Dad would stock up on them. Remember that? You get several of them, put in a big freezer. It's like going to Elliot's Ice Cream in the summertime. I got ice chairs, open the freezer. Man, you got chocolate chip, heavenly hash, vanilla, butter pecan, Dad would have all the. See, Grandma was a cereal person. Dad was boring on cereal, cornflakes, frosted flakes, boring. But Dad had good ice cream. And he'd have all these flavors you choose from. And I had that memory looking at Ingles food. I thought, I remember Dad used to stock up on ice cream, have five or six different flavors of ice cream in the freezer when I was a kid. Just a good memory. What was my whole point of telling the ice cream story? Sweet salvation, yeah. So, thank you. So, we love our sweets. Well, the sweetest thing ever is our salvation. Yes. You know, there are terms that I don't know if young people still use it or not. I don't know, Nick, if I use it or not, but, you know, used to, like you see a cool car, right, and you go, sweet. Y'all still say that? Okay. That's sweet. Me and Nick, like, yeah! That's sweet. That means, you know, that's nice, man. That's cool. That's bad. That's, you know, bad in a good way. I remember I first said that. I know growing up, my parents, they say bad, and they didn't understand what bad meant. They thought bad meant bad. Don't bad mean bad? No, bad means good. Okay. Because I used to go down the road, and I'd say, man, it's a bad car. What's wrong with it? Mom said, what's wrong with it? No, it's bad. What do you mean it's bad? No, it's good. Why don't you say it's a good car? No, capunde. Don't know the lingo. It's bad. It's hip. It's cool. It's hip to be a square. Anyway. Huh? It's sick, yeah. Oh, yeah, now I might be really confused. It's that old now, sick. Like a mom made a Kirschstein steak, and I went, man, Mom, that steak was sick. She'd be like, what? But that means good. It was the bomb, right? So it was good. Nothing sweeter. I made you Hogan out. Sorry. I haven't mentioned a lot of good things this morning. But there's nothing sweeter than our salvation. Look at the verse talks about our salvation. Ephesians 2:8. We all know this verse. We've read it for years. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Part of his banquet, the sweetest part, because, you know, I save the sweets for last, because that's what we do, right? So I save the sweet salvation, because that's the last and most best thing. Most of us look forward to the dessert, right? We eat our meal, but man, let Melanie get some good cheesecake with the real strawberries on it, and she's skip the meal, bun and cheesecake. We want the sweets. We want the thing. So the last thing I said on the menu was the sweets, which is sweet salvation. We are saved by his grace. So at this banquet, our faith in God gives us the saving grace to have that eternal life through his marvelous love that we just talked about. This is a banquet that we can be thankful for. We have all of these things today, and all of us in here can thank God for this menu. We can thank God for juicy joy, heavenly hope, his marvelous mercy, his layered love, his perfect peace, his sweet salvation. Part of the banquet of God he has waiting on us. And all we got to do is eat it. God's prepared. It's available. I mean, if I go to my grandma's house for Thanksgiving dinner, which I'm not this year, of course, because, well, she's not going to have it, and we're not going to be there. But anyway, if she had it, and we got all the stuff on the little kitchen counter bar, we have all these bowls and stuff, and it's sitting there, and I choose not to eat it, that's not her fault. She provided it. Jamie, don't want none of my biscuits? No, Grandma, we need no biscuits. But they're right here. I just baked them. They're fresh. I said, I'm going to square one just for you. That's okay, Granny. I'm not going to eat it. But why not? You don't want it? I'm just not going to eat it. Well, you know who misses out? Well, she misses out because I don't get to see her joy smile. He likes my biscuits. I don't get to see that. But I'm the one suffering. Here's these hot biscuits on a bar. Golden brown on top. And they're right there available. There's steam coming from them with butter, Stacey. And they're all on there. And I walk right by them and I don't eat them. There's no excuse for that. They're provided. If you're not walking in any of these things this morning, if you're really not, now you know about them, but you're not really walking in them. You don't have no joy. That's not my fault. It's not God's fault. God gave it to you. You use it or not. Same thing with the mercy, hope, love, peace, and salvation. All this has been prepared. All you have to do is say, God, here I am. I'm going to choose to walk on your peace, your joy, your hope, your mercy. I'm going to choose, God, your saving grace plan. I'm going to walk in that, believe in that, and hope in that, and stay in that, God, no matter what this world does around us. We don't know what's going to happen in the next couple of months. There's a transition, as we know, coming politically. There's also, I think, a spiritual transitioning happening right now, and we don't know what's going to happen, but I know this. I know that God's got a banquet, and I'm going to give him praise, and I'm going to give him thanks. I'm going to give him honor for all that he is. One more verse in closing. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this. In everything, the Amplified says, every circumstance. Now think about this. We don't always want to give. When Mindy was sick as a dog last week, I'm sure it was hard for her to say, Lord, I thank you. She probably did, though. But Lord, I thank you. You're still God. And I feel horrible, but God,
I thank you that I still got your peace. I still got your mercy. I still got your hope. I still got your love. I still got your grace. And I thank you. In every circumstance, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Easy to give thanks when things are good. Right? Somebody buys you lunch. Thank you. That's great. But you got to buy them lunch. Do you still thank God? Thank you, Lord. I bought their lunch. Easy to thank God when things are right. But when things are wrong, it's a little bit harder. But the Bible's clear. In every circumstance, we give thanks. Because, see, we don't serve God based on a merit system of what he does for us. We serve God based on who he is. He's God, period. Doesn't change. He's love. This menu, here's the good thing. Don't you hate it when they take things off a menu that you like? Taco Bell, Christian, right? It's changed a lot of their menu. They took the Mexican pizza off. They took all these things off Taco Bell menu. Changed a lot of things. Some restaurants now have a limited menu because of the COVID thing. They took some things off. You can't get everything you used to, right? Here's the good news. This menu's always. I ain't got to worry about God taking his love away from me. His mercy, his grace, his hope, his strength, his peace, his wisdom, his direction, his discernment, his Holy Spirit. Don't have to worry about that. I'm his child. He's my father. It's always available. It's always. This meal is always available. So in my worst situation, through my sickness, through my pain, through my battle, through my uncertainty, through my fear, I can know that God is with me, God is in me, and that doesn't change. So I give him thanks. Thank God this week for who you are in Christ and for who he is to you. No matter how things have changed, no matter what your situation looks like this week, just focus on what's right. Focus on what's good. Focus on who he is and give him thanks. Give him thanks. Hallelujah. That is our menu for today. And I hope some of you will eat this menu, partake in this, and read these verses and begin to walk in this for your life. This is not a Sunday or Wednesday thing. This is a life thing.